Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, February 28th. I'm Abby Larico. A local filmmaker recently debuted a documentary on the demolition of most of a former all-black community in Richmond Heights. The area was redeveloped in 2014 for Menards and other businesses, and the film highlights the vanished neighborhood.
It's imperative that people realize that African Americans, we're a part of the fabric that helped build this country.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with Margie Hollins about the legacy of Hadley Township. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Annie Malone Parade is back on. The Social Service Agency had announced earlier this month it was canceling its May event and using the funds to help clients with food and shelter. But in a statement yesterday, its chief executive officer says an outpouring of community support and advocacy in Jefferson City means the parade can go on as previously scheduled downtown on May 18th. Annie Malone's May Day Parade has taken place almost every year since 1910 and is the agency's largest fundraiser. Leaders of KDHX rejected an offer by former volunteers to contribute at least $100,000 to the community radio station, which, according to those leaders, is nearing bankruptcy. The activist group Love of KDHX offered the money in a proposal that also called for an all-new board of directors. KDHX refused to discuss it, instead saying no in a public statement late last night. The station's board said the rescue plan is, quote, rooted in the kind of magical thinking that contributed to KDHX's longstanding financial instability, end quote. Former DJ Roy Kasten helped craft that rescue plan.
This was a good faith gesture that we wanted to keep private while the board could review it and then we could discuss. And they just blew it up. They sandbag us.
The proposal also called for a blue ribbon advisory board, including former Jazz St. Louis leaders Gene Dobbs Bradford and other experienced fundraisers. The Missouri Senate approved removing expiration dates on dozens of statutes, including bans on transgender youth participating in sports according to their identity and receiving gender-affirming care. STLPR's Evie Lewis reports.
Both transgender restrictions are currently scheduled to expire in 2027. A different bill that would also make the bans permanent drew hours of testimony and opposition during a public hearing earlier in the session, going late into the night. During a filibuster on the bill last week, Boone County Democrat Stephen Weber said the concerns of transgender Missourians were being silenced.
There are people who, if they could, would come on this floor and scream to have their struggles, to have their story known.
The bill will now go to the House of Representatives. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The bill that passed in the Senate yesterday would also remove the expiration dates from more than 20 other statutes, including a tax that funds a large portion of Medicaid. The Missouri Senate gave bipartisan approval yesterday to a bill that would ban students from using cell phones during the school day. The ban would be bell-to-bell, meaning phone use would be banned from the start to the end of the school day, including during lunch and passing periods. The bill's sponsor, St. Francis Republican Mike Henderson, says cell phones are a major issue in schools.
Schools that have a bell-to-bell policy and that prohibits devices have seen fewer distractions, a reduction in cyberbullying and social media-related conflict, an increase in student engagement, and better teaching morale.
The bill, which now goes to the House of Representatives, has some exceptions, such as for emergencies or if a teacher allows phones for educational use. The bill would also require schools to report violent incidents and threats to the State Department of Education. A Democratic lawmaker from Kirkwood says his caucus may have a difficult time stopping Republicans from enacting their agenda. On Politically Speaking, Mark Boyko told STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum that he's pessimistic about stopping GOP priorities.
For the past few years, House and Senate Democrats have gained influence because of infighting among the Republican supermajority. But this year, GOP senators are getting along better, while House and Senate leaders have so far been on the same page. Boyko says that GOP unity means Democrats can't stop things they oppose, such as creating a gubernatorial board to oversee the St. Louis Police Department.
It's not a lot of fun to be pressing the no button a lot, right? That's just the way it is. That's the nature of our democracy, and I knew that going in.
Boyko says it may be possible to team up with Republicans to oppose state aid to private and public school scholarships. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri U.S. Senator Josh Hawley says he supports the Trump administration's efforts to cut the federal workforce. Trump deputized billionaire Elon Musk to make reductions in spending, which has resulted in thousands of federal employees losing their jobs. During an interview with NPR's Morning Edition yesterday, Hawley said Trump and Musk are carrying out a mandate that voters gave them in the past election.
In fact, what I would like to do is that I'd like to move whole bunches of federal employees out of Washington, D.C. and move them into the states closer to the people that they serve.
According to the nonprofit Partnership for Public Service, 80% of the federal workforce is located outside of the D.C. area. You can listen to Hawley's full Morning Edition interview at stlpr.org. In the past month, nearly 400,000 birds have been affected by the avian flu outbreak in Missouri. The state has the second largest number of flocks affected in the nation during this time, as STLPR's Sarah Fenton reports.
Bird flu also affects other animals and, in rare cases, humans. In the last month, it's been found in 13 of Missouri's commercial poultry producers and egg farm flocks. Tatiana Fisher is a poultry specialist at Lincoln University in Jefferson City. She says it's possible the virus could spread more as migratory birds return this spring.
We've seen a number of different species that are impacted, wild species as well as domestic. And that's been what's super unique and kind of scary about this particular outbreak.
Fisher says Missouri's different from other states because it has farms in all sectors of the poultry industry. Turkeys, chickens, and eggs. She says a handful of very large farms reported bird flu last month. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced a $1 billion plan to help American farmers combat the bird flu epidemic. The inaugural 314 Punk Weekend is this weekend at the Sinkhole on South Broadway and Platypus on Manchester Road. The festival sprung from an Instagram account dedicated to spreading the word about local shows. Organizer and musician Wes Hoffman hopes that 314 Punk can provide an entry point for people who want to discover what's happening in St. Louis's alternative music scene.
And I feel like social media is very accessible, and it was an easier way to just say, hey, if you want to know about anything punk, ska, emo, a little bit of hardcore, it's all right here, and we'll share all of it.
All 20 bands in the festival lineup are local to Greater St. Louis. More information is available at 314 Punk on Instagram and on our website. Before there was a Menards in Richmond Heights, east of Hanley Road and south of Interstate 64, there was an all-black community called Hadley Township. It was built in 1907 and filled with black businesses, schools, and churches. Over the years, the area slowly developed. In the early 2000s, some families took buyouts from developers. Others were forced out to make way for commercial properties. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke about it with Margie Hollins, a former resident who recently debuted her documentary capturing the demolition of Hadley Township.
I first heard in 2014, my oldest sister, who still lived in Richmond Heights, called, and she was hysterical. And she was saying that I needed to come, I needed to bring somebody, since I was a historian and since I was a journalist, I needed to come and document what they were doing, that they were tearing down Mount Zion Church. So I took a videographer, and we did the first run of being in Hadley Township and documenting them actually tearing the structure down of the church.
When you got over there, what were some of your first thoughts? Because you were once a resident in the area. What were you thinking? What was going through your mind?
It's like, wow. Always before, your friends come to visit from out of town. Other people come and they say, where did you grow up? And you're able to take them to a physical spot. However, it's a gut-wrenching thing to actually observe buildings that you played in, that it was your familiar, and you're wondering why. Because it wasn't like Hadley Township was a slum.
What would you say folks need to know about Hadley Township? What makes it so special?
The community developed as a very thriving, vibrant, close-knit village. There are a lot of very famous people who came out of Hadley Township.
Tell us some.
Mae Wheeler, Lady Jazz, Henry Hampton, who became Pulitzer Prize winner for Eyes on the Prize. Norma Rayburn, she was a conductor for the Spelman Glee Club. Those are a few other people who came out of Hadley Township.
Why do you think that right now is the best time to tell the story about Hadley Township?
Because people don't know. And when you go past, there's no evidence. Had I gone past and at least I had seen something that said that an African-American community was established here in 1907. It was called Hadley Township, and on the corner of Hanley Road and Dale Avenue, and that it was vertical and large enough that the thousands of people who come by and stop at the Quick Trip or they stop at Panda Express, that they knew that we existed.
Not only here in Missouri, in the region, but also across the nation. You have book bans. You are seeing erasures of Black history. So why do you feel that it is important to make sure that we are able to still tell these stories to future generations?
I don't want when people drive past that they're going about their business and they take for granted that, oh, this is a nice stretch of land, and never think about who the people were who lived there before. It's imperative that they know Kinloch existed and was one of the first African-American communities in Missouri before the East Wing of Lambert Airport. It's imperative that they know that there was an African-American presence at Eager Road before the promenade, that there was an African-American presence in Mission Park, which was adjacent to Kirkwood. So if I don't identify who we were, then the next generation won't know.
That was Margie Holland speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson about her new documentary, We Bear Witness, The African-American Legacy of Hadley Township, Missouri. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. If you're headed out for 314 Punk Weekend or Sue Lard's Mardi Gras festivities, be safe, be a good neighbor, and laissez les bon temps brûler. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.